Good evening, I'm Juliette Talevi. You're watching Stockwatch, and joining me in studio this evening to tackle your questions are Jonathan Fisher from PSG Wealth Sandton and Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. If you'd like to send those questions to us, please SMS us, stock and the question, to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Jonathan, Nick, nice to see you both together for a change in studio. Nick, if I might start with you, decent day on the markets. In fact, a pretty strong finish, and largely thanks to resources shares. What in particular was the catalyst for those resources stocks?
Good evening. I think in general last week we've had the dollar's been a bit on the back foot, which always helps resources for a start. You've had the precious metals running quite hard. Gold is back over 1300 as well. And I think it started also from just coming in for the start of the week. You know, Australia was strong, the miners were strong there. Flowed over into London, us as well, we bore the brunt of it. And there seems to be, a couple of weeks ago when the earnings did come out in the resource space, they're starting to display some really interesting things. You know, they're not trading on higher PEs, they're paying special dividends. Barrick Gold came out a while ago, also with a special dividend. So all of a sudden, the resource space, which has been in the doldrums and been sort of the whipping boy for years, is now all of a sudden starting to look okay.
So yeah. I mean, it's interesting how quickly it changes. Mm. And it changes, and then you suddenly think, hang on, the share is up. This is palladium is at an all-time high today, $1,575 an ounce. You know, last week when I checked the charts on Amplats, I thought, good grief, I haven't seen that in a while. Jonathan, there is actually a question on Amplats, and maybe to get your thoughts on the whole resource sector, but this person is short Amplats, which must be a slightly uncomfortable feeling at the moment. And they say, I'm short 100 Anglo Platinum CFDs at 760 Rand, and I'd like to add to my short at 800 Rand. Does your professional panel not think that the stock is overdone and on a 10-year, also being on a 10-year high?
So, you know, talking back to your palladium price there, Amplats are making good money out of palladium, even though it's not core to their to what they mine. I mean, their core product is platinum, which is trading at a much lower price than palladium, but they're making a lot of money from that byproduct being palladium. So I'd be very cautious of having a short position on Amplats. I think the results...
Or adding to a short position.
Or adding to the short position. Personally, I'd rather cut that position, and I'd consider actually going long on a little bit of a dip. I think Amplats numbers were fairly okay. In fact, Anglo-American, the holding company's numbers were very good. Based on most of the underlying assets, one being Amplats. So, personally, I'd cut that position, but I'm not so much a short-term trader as such.
Yeah. Mick, how about you? Because also last week in studio, we were talking about whether or not the resources cycle is nearing the end of this bull run and whether you should still be buying shares like Kumba or Amplats, or if that's actually a little bit dangerous to be allocating quite a lot of cash towards these stocks now in what could be the tail end of a rally.
I agree with you. I think we could be at the tail end of a rally. The problem is what happens towards the end of a cycle is that the last sort of 10 percentile of that move can be quite aggressive. And if you talk about the Sandplat shorts, I mean, firstly, like, where's your stop loss, firstly? Secondly, you know, things can stay overbought a lot longer. Typically, when things get oversold, the buyers step in and try to buy the dip. But on the overbought side, you know, people tend to sort of chase them. And I think these end-of-cycle rallies, which I think we can all agree we're probably nearer the end of this bull market, they can be quite aggressive and quite strong. And, in fact, can make a huge difference to performance. You can easily get 10-15% squeeze in the final blow-off. So yeah. I'd be very, very careful as we end towards the end of the cycle.
Okay. If you've invested already in resources shares, be they Diversified or Amplats or Anglo or Billiton, would you hold them or would you lighten your positions?
So I'd hold them, depending how well you've done. I mean, you know, we tend to kind of look at portfolios that are well balanced. So if your Anglo-American position that you bought 3 years ago is skewing your portfolio, there's no harm cutting back a little bit. Personally, I still think there's a little bit of upside left, you know, depending on what the next 6 months shows with respect to the results. As if resource prices retain their relatively high-ish levels, well, then we could still see good numbers coming through.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to one of the other stronger performers today, and that was Steinhoff. What did you think of the move up? I mean, is this just, I suppose, play money that we should allocate to Steinhoff for intriguing daily moves? So yes, the PwC report was released on Friday. It was the summary, a very scant 11-page summary of 14 months worth of investigation, which included something like 3,000 or 4,000 attached documents. But the share price rallied on Friday. It rallied again today. Jonathan, you're laughing. Do you think
I'm laughing because you ain't been around for 6 months. And I think it is play money. It's monopoly money or casino money.
Well, I have to tell you, it's probably where it was when I went on maternity leave, to be honest.
But I lost interest completely in this one. Okay. So I do agree. I mean, if you want to take a punt, take a punt. But that's all it is. Yeah. That's my view.
Nick?
I think I'm a little bit careful saying play money because I think some people got really hurt.
Yeah, okay, so, look, I mean, so that's no disrespect to, absolutely, to people who got badly
of course,
burned by something.
Yeah, absolutely. And sympathies all around. We're involved in litigation with them as well, so heads up on that. But I think, for me, I think you would have got more feedback reading Rob Rose's book, to be quite honest. The 10-page gave us nothing, and quite why we had this euphoric sort of rally above 2 rand, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it was a bit of relief that maybe we're getting nearer to getting those audits results finally, now that the PwC have completed theirs. So maybe it's a bit of that, but and I see on the back of it, CAP rallied, and obviously Pep was out a little bit on the back saying they weren't so linked with potentially a fraud. But I mean, offshore, the Financial Times weekend ran quite a detailed article in the weekend newspaper about this, how large this fraud was. So I'm not sure, and I probably agree with Jonathan. I mean, it really, at this level, if you weren't involved and you hadn't been hurt, it really is just a punt, really, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, the largest fraud after Enron, that's quite something to have that that notch on our belt. It's a dubious honour, really.
Correct. Yeah. But, I think one needs to wait for the actual PwC report. Well, not the report, but the audited numbers to come out. And I think that's been delayed till May now, if I'm not mistaken. So that will really give insight into what went wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, Rob's book has a huge amount of detail, which is absent from this report. Mm. There's a question. We had results today from Advtech. We also had a statement from Pepkor saying, as you can see, there's no contagion of governance from the Steinhoff issues. And the question is, Pepkor Stadio, not Advtech, but the other company in the education business, and Vodacom remain poor performers in my portfolio. Are these stocks worth a hold for the long term? So firstly, possibly on Pepkor, there wasn't much reaction, I have to say, to the, I think it was the chairman of, or the CEO of Pepkor saying that, the findings confirm what we've always known. Pepkor's financial results are unaffected. It illustrates that the appropriate financial and corporate governance structures are in place within Pepkor, etc. Rallied slightly today.
Stock was flat in the day. Notwithstanding their distancing himself from Steinhoff, they operate, don't forget it was only a few months ago that South Africa was murder and recession. They're operating in a very tight space. There's very little food inflation around. And it's a very tough operating environment with tight margins. So just on the basis of the space that they play in, they need growth. They need an economy that's growing. They need a South Africa that's growing. And they're playing in a space where we're not growing. So, yes, they maybe dodged a bullet with too much of that start off, but they're still operating in a very tough space, and the stock is not cheap.
Jonathan, what do you think?
Look, I do agree with Nick. I think they are operating in a difficult space, but I mean, it's basically Pep Stores and it's Ackermans, which I think are good brands, and I think they do okay. What do you compare them to? Mr. Price? Maybe Mr. Price sells more funky clothes. I think there's a big market for their product, and I think they do okay in this tough environment. But like Nick says, we need economic growth to pick up and consumer market to be in a better space.
If it's a long term game that you hold your Pepkor shares for,
I think you should. I think you should. Yeah, it's a good business. Got like I said, it's got a very good footprint and. When times do get better, not only Pepkor, but the whole retail market should benefit.
Yeah, agreed.
What about Stadio? Never quite sure how to pronounce it, to be honest. So you've got an option. You've essentially got, well, I guess four options in a way to invest in education. You've got Stadio, you've got Kuro, you've got AdvTech, and you've also actually got PSG, which has some interests in sort of distance learning businesses. Which one? So if Stadio is your pick, is this also something that you have to hang around with for quite a long time before it pays off?
I think you do. I mean, I just changed it slightly, but I mean, just looking at what AdvTech did today, so in that particular space, the tertiary education made up a big chunk of it. It was a huge surprise, and that is where things are going. And they've been on a massive acquisition scale, buying places in Kenya and tertiary. And, that is where things are going. I certainly think Stadio, you can hold it. But you've got to, once again, you've got to wait. It's very different for what we've been looking at, PEP calls, which are discretionary spending and maybe a little bit more tougher. But people are chasing higher education and better education. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's not cheap. That's the problem. And the cash flows are a little bit tough on the Stadio side too.
Mm. Jonathan, I know they're sort of PSG related.
Stadio, just for the record, is a sister company of ours. It's a good business. I mean, remember, they unbundled out of Kuro. AdvTech has got both components, got your school business plus got tertiary education, and Kuro decided to unbundle Stadio as a separate business. I mean, it is a good business, but you need to be patient. I guess, you know, Kuro, we started seeing Kuro come to market about 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and the investors that got in at the lower end or at the initial level are smiling. Sure, it's been double the price that it is now, that's Kuro. But what I'm saying is perhaps you just need to be patient with Stadio. It's a newly listed company.
I mean, maybe that's one argument. The other argument is you're going to have to cough up to be an investor in Stadio. So if they go to the market to raise money, because they're going to grow by the same kind of means that Kuro grew, through acquisition and through raising fresh capital on the markets, then as a shareholder, you have to be prepared to put more cash into this business.
There could be, there could be that element, but I think they're different in the sense that they're not, from what management said, Kuro is quite aggressive in raising a lot of capital to get a footprint in the various parts of the country and to build schools. Stadio is going to be more centralized. They talk about a multiversity, more distance learning, so not that big capital outlay in all parts of the country. So you may not see that much aggressive capital raising exercises going forward with Stadio.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, that's what management have told us.
Yeah, okay. Well, we take management at their word. And what about Vodacom? Also a poor performer, Nick. Yeah. Do you think it's worth hanging on to, or do you think actually we're sort of witnessing the kicks of a dying horse or the horse as we knew it for cell phone operators?
Yeah, well, maybe the latter. I mean, these stocks have gone from those high-end growth go-go stocks 10, 15 years ago. They are maturing businesses, and businesses are changing. You know, they've gone as they've morphed from voice only to data dependent. There's been a big squeeze on data amongst countries, worried about with consumers. But one thing Vodacom does stand out for me is their footprint is massive. They are a global business. They're not that expensive, although they haven't really done much. They've sort of muddled along sideways for a while. They are a very cash generative business, and they've always had a reputation of paying decent money back to shareholders. They've always had dividends north of 5% dividend yield. So I think people just need to, and investors that are watching the show must realize that we're probably unlikely to get those 30, 40% growth years as these businesses mature. But it doesn't mean there can't be a decent part of your portfolio where the dividend flows are good, and the dividend yields are decent, and the business will continue to grow, although just not at the pace that they used to grow at.
Yeah. Jonathan, I'll get your thoughts on Vodacom after the break, and if you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us or email us or tweet us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets this evening. It's a green start to the week, but slightly subdued. Still in the spirits of St. Paddy's Day, the S&P 500 up 0.2%, NASDAQ up also by a similar margin. The Dow Jones only trading just under a tenth of a percent to the good. And across the Atlantic, you had the FTSE 100 gaining almost 1% today, possibly because of the resources shares on that index. The CAC 40 up 0.14% and the DAX down a quarter of a percent. Still with me in studio are Jonathan Fisher from PSG Wealth, Santon, and Nick Kunzler from Sunderland Private Wealth. We're talking about Vodacom. Nick was saying essentially you're buying it for the dividend, not for huge capital appreciation as far as the share price is concerned. Would you do the same, or would you buy MTN, or would you buy Blue Label for Cell C, or Telkom, for that matter?
You know, it depends what you're looking for. I mean, as Nick said, I think it's a mature industry. They're different, all three companies. Vodacom is the most mature and almost like a utility type business. So unless you are looking for relative stability, depending on your entry point, with some income, I ain't going to shoot the lights out. But I wouldn't say you're guaranteed, but it's close to a guarantee of a 5 or 6% income yield.
I mean, is that enough? You know, if you have a sort of a small portion of your portfolio in a Vodacom and you get dividends, is that actually quite a happy place to be?
Well, it depends. You know, if you're an old person that's 8 years old and you're depending on your dividend flow from your share portfolio, well, then it is a nice to have. And you're not looking to double your money every 3 or 4 years or 5 years for that matter. But if you're a young 30-something or just come out of university, it might not be the right thing for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to take a short position on Amplats.
you can stomach that white-knuckle ride. There's a question asking about Ethos Private Equity, saying, I noticed the interim results were due to be released last week, Friday, so the 15th of March. However, their results haven't been released as yet. Should I be worried? I suppose none of us actually have these dates. Sometimes it's indicative, so maybe I suppose you should only be worried if they come out with a trading update, which would indicate a 20% variation in what they expect to report on earnings. So I'm afraid let's park that question. But I'd like to know the panel's view on Soho Sun now that it's considering separately listing their hotels division. So they said they're going to go ahead with this by June. Nick, Soho did quite well on Friday on the back of this, and I think again today.
Yeah, another 4% today. Yeah, you're right. So they came out on Friday and said that they were basically going to halve off their hotel business. And
I mean, this has been in the offing for a while, but I guess they've now sort of clarified dates.
They have, and comment out of management were along the lines of that they thought their gaming and the hotel business were quite separate in what they've discovered, and they didn't foresee any synergies or cross synergies in it, and it made sense to list it separately. But I think it has been, as you said, it has been on the cards for a while, so no real surprises. But nice to receive by the market, 4% again today.
So, Jonathan, what would you buy? Would you buy the gaming? Would you buy Tsoho, which actually still will hold quite a big stake
in the 52.3 or something, wasn't it?
Whatever the number was. It's quite chunky stake in the hotels division, which is kind of they're doing with Hospitality Property Fund. Would you buy the hotels division, or would you buy Sun International, where you presumably still get both gaming and hotel assets?
So to answer the question, I think I need to look at this thing a lot deeper, look at their last couple set of results and just see what the split is and what the different profitabilities, if they disclose that, as in the current format, and take it from there. But, I was looking at Sun International's numbers. Sorry.
Yeah, so they came out as results
two
today.
Suns, looking at theirs, and funny enough, I mean, gaming in that business is the far bigger business than everything else. Now, how profitable it is, not quite sure. And one would have to look at Tsoho on a similar basis. They've got some great assets. Which one is the better one to go for? I think more work needs to go into that.
Okay. Nick, have you given any more thoughts on Sun International versus Tsoho versus hotels?
I think Jonathan's spot on. You need to do a little bit more work on it. But the gaming side, definitely far more cash generative. And just looking adding on to the comments on Sun International, you know, you need anywhere in South Africa north of 68, apparently 70% occupancy, and they've been hovering around about the lower 60s. So it's a difficult business. I'd rather side of the gaming side.
Okay. And just maybe one last question. If once the company has announced that they're going ahead with an unbundling, have the gains actually been made in the share price? Maybe also the point of the question is asking whether or not you buy Tsoko for further gains, or has it happened and it's maybe too late to buy in now for any benefit that you may get from an unbundling?
So, I mean, what we've seen in recent unbundlings is, and we saw it now with MultiChoice and Naspers, that there's still some fat on the table, if you can call it that. So there might still be some upside in light of the unbundling coming whenever in the next month, 2-3 months' time. So there might still be some left for investors to buy now. And gain some kind of
uptick.
Value, uptick over the next few months, where you land up owning two different companies.
Yeah. Okay. Then a question on Coronation: is it a buy at current levels? I think we were all talking about Coronation being a buy at 60 or 70 rand, and it's now unfortunately below that. Was that just inevitable, given what happened to the market from sort of September, October last year?
I think Coronation's always been a barometer or a proxy exactly as the market's doing. And after the year we had and last year, and speaking as a stockbroker as well, that was a tough one last year, and I think Coronation couldn't dodge that bullet. And they also, Coronation is, they're a fantastic team, but they got quite a few stock calls wrong. They got more than wrong than they should have done. And also, there's been a real squeeze in fees. Eh? There's a real push towards passive investing. They've got their own version of a black box where they don't divulge all the management fees that they pay out as well, which has rubbed a few people up the wrong way in this environment of more and more transparency and people moaning about fees.
Yeah.
And they've lost a few assets as well. So that they haven't been in a great space, but everyone goes on about their dividend yield. I mean, what is it, close 8 or 9%, whatever it was done when it was close to 40 rand a share. So they're still paying out decent dividends. I mean, they've still got 500 odd billion under management. I mean, they're sort of an unbelievable business. But they're not immune to the squeeze we're seeing on fees and on asset managers.
Yeah.
But as the market bounces back, they all bounce back with it.
Jonathan, any thoughts, or would you buy something like Signia, which has staked its kind of fortunes on exchange traded funds, for example?
No, not really. I mean, we don't really look at either of those two. Just getting back to Coronation, I think the points that Nick made are, it is what it is. That basically, they've lost assets over time, and I think the earnings have also decreased over time, but the share price has too. So the multiples look attractive. The dividend yield still looks good. But we want to see, or the market would like to see, earnings at least stabilizing and in fact growing. And it's hard. It's hard in this market. Now, this first quarter looks like it's going to be a good quarter. It just needs to be sustainable.
Mm.
And if it does, if we do get a good year and a good 2 or 3 years, hopefully, they'll filter through to Coronation's numbers, and then the share price will move up. But it's all market dependent, really.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd bought sort of, say, a Satrix or any kind of option on the top 40 on the 1st of January this year, you'd be smiling. But you should just cash in now and say, right, I'm going on holiday for the rest of the year. Because what are we up, about 10%?
You could have bought Naspers, British Tobacco, Anglo-American, and others, and maybe done better.
I mean, do you think we'll have sort of, I'm sure you're hoping for 2019 that actually ends where there have been sort of gains, sustained gains over the year. But for you, what would be the factors that will help enable that to happen?
Well, just from a local point of view, we've obviously got elections, which are going to play a massive impact on where South Africa Inc. goes. But on a global scale, which ultimately is where we have to look, it's all going to depend on what central banks do this year and what interest rates do. And at the moment, they're pricing in for a very dovish outlook. Provided that stays low and yields stay low, then touch wood, we'll sort of carry on grinding higher for the year. But once again, I still think we need a few things to line up first.
Yeah. There's a question on it's a very particular little property stock called Rebosis. But the question is, please can you ask about it? Why has the market been so hard on the company? It's on a forward dividend yield of 30%. Is this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
No. look, it's unfortunate, but Rebosis is a property company that's differentiated itself by pretty much owning buildings that are leased to various government departments, yeah. And they've hurt because of, I guess, lack of ability for those departments to pay on time, and we saw it in the last set of numbers. I mean, that chart there looks like the side of Table Mountain, and just at the top, right there, was just as those numbers came out, and I think the earnings dropped something like 15 or 30%. Yeah. From one period to the next.
And the irony, of course, is that Rebosis, when it first sort of set up shop, it punted the fact that it had government as tenants because it said, you know, it's a secure tenant. Mm. But then you don't take into account how sort of ineffective and shambolic government is at re-signing leases. And I guess, you know, they also have to re-sign leases and be much harder on their landlords because they've got to save money where they can. So this has actually maybe turned into a bit of a nightmare for them.
Yeah, how quickly things change, right?
Yeah. Okay, getting to stock picks this evening. I was going to ask, you know, if you don't want to buy Coronation, will you buy Investec Asset Management, which I guess will be separately split apart from Investec, but Investec PLC is your stock pick this evening.
It is, yeah, it is. Not expensive, trading at 90 Rand a share, trading on a forward P of 9. When the story first broke of them spinning off the asset management business, the share popped up to 114, 115. So it's back at quite a nice level. We have a fair value, Sanlam has, of closer to 110 on the share. Also pays a nice dividend yield, close on almost 5%. So it's also you've got the impetus that it's been held back a little bit by, obviously, with Brexit, which hopefully we're nearing the end game on that. So,
you're very hopeful.
I'm very hopeful. So we like it, and I think it's not too demanding at current levels.
Okay. Jonathan, and for you also, a PLC share being Mondi.
Yeah, so Mondi PLC really is a packaging and paper business that pretty much controls its whole value chain from owning and managing forests all the way to making pulp and making packaging products. For various items and for industries, both consumer and industrial. Great business. I think 67 to 70% of their business is now offshore, not in South Africa or Southern Africa. And we think that is cheap. I mean, it's trading on a P of about 11 times, dividend yield of 3.5%, currently trading at about 333 Rand. It's been as high as 400.
Yeah, it's sort of lagged in the last 2 years, so yeah. You'd like to see it start pushing
up.
Yeah,
I mean, the last set of numbers which came out recently for the full year in December, you know, we saw, I think it's headline earnings up 15-16%, so we do like it.
Okay, well, we leave it there. Jonathan, Nick, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Jonathan Fisher is from PSG Wealth Santander, Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth. We'll take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening. Getting to stock picks this evening. I was going to ask, you know, if you don't want to buy Coronation, will you buy Investec Asset Management, which I guess will be separately split apart from Investec, but Investec PLC is your stock pick this evening.
It is, yeah, it is. Not expensive, trading at 90 Rand a share, trading on a forward P of 9. When the story first broke of them spinning off the asset management business, the share popped up to 114, 115. So it's back at quite a nice level. We have a fair value, Sanlam has, of closer to 110 on the share. Also pays a nice dividend yield, close on almost 5%. So it's also you've got the impetus that it's been held back a little bit by, obviously, with Brexit, which hopefully we're nearing the end game on that.
You're very hopeful.
I'm very hopeful. So we like it, and I think it's not too demanding at current levels.
Okay. Jonathan, and for you also, a PLC share being Mondi.
Yeah, so Mondi PLC really is a packaging and paper business that pretty much controls its whole value chain from owning and managing forests all the way to making pulp and making packaging products for various items and for industries, both consumer and industrial. Great business. I think 67 to 70% of their business is now offshore, not in South Africa or Southern Africa. And we think that is cheap. I mean, it's trading on a PE of about 11 times, dividend yield of 3.5%, currently trading at about 333 Rand. It's been as high as 400.
Yeah, it's sort of lagged in the last 2 years, so yeah, you'd like to see it start pushing up.
I mean, the last set of numbers which came out recently for the full year in December, you know, we saw, I think it's headline earnings up 15-16%, so we do like it.
Okay, well, we leave it there. Jonathan, Nick, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Jonathan Fisher is from PSG Wealth Santander, Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. We'll take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.